Welcome back to the Groups Matter podcast. This is episode 42. As always, I'm here with Chris Surratt. Chris, we are syndicated now. You knew that, right?
We go all the way across, south of America? Or do we go all the way up to the top? I'm not sure what that means exactly.
And I'm sure we're international as well.
Well, yeah.
All right, so what's new with you?
Well, you know, we've talked about my daughter was trying to decide on a college, and there was a lot of decision to go into that, but she finally made a decision, and she is attending the great College of South Carolina, the USC, as they would say it, because they predated Southern California. So, but she's going to the University of South Carolina, which in the last few weeks, the women won the national championship, and the men made it to the Final Four in the first time history. And so it's a good time to be a Gamecock.
Congratulations on that. That is a tremendous load once that decision is made, and it sounds like a good one.
Yes.
Well, Chris, we are blessed today to have Trevin Wax in studio with us. Trevin, thanks for making time out of your schedule.
Yeah, glad to be with you guys.
So just a little bit about Trevin. He is the Bible and Reference Publisher for Lifeway Christian Resources. We will be talking more about that in just a minute, and has served as managing editor of the Gospel Project, and that's the gospel-centered small group curriculum for all ages, if you didn't already know that. He's also the teaching pastor at Third Baptist Church in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, which is a relatively recent addition to your long list of things Trevin does. Trevin's one of those guys, Chris, that is... At the end of the day, you look at what Trevin Wax does, and at the end of the day, I look at what I do, and I think, what's wrong with me?
Yeah, I'm thinking about cutting out sleep so I can maybe catch up a little bit. But, and you were also a missionary to Romania.
That's right.
How long were you in Romania?
I lived there for 5 years.
Oh, wow. That's great. I've got a good friend who's a missionary in Romania.
My wife is Romanian, so I brought some of Romania back with me is the way I like to think about it.
Very cool. How well do you speak the language?
I'm fluent. Oh. So I'm fluent in Romanian. She's fluent in English, so it works out well.
So that's another thing I've got to do is get fluent in some other language. I'll work on it.
In your spare time.
Yeah. And this is also cool. I read that you were named by Christianity Today as one of the 33 millennials leading the next generation of evangelism. What does that mean? That's amazing.
You know, when I was 33, they did a list of 33 Christians under the age of 33, or like 33 and under, to show from 1980 on, I think, is the birth dates to say who was leading evangelicals, leading the next generation. So it was an honor to be included in there. There's a really good group of folks in that list.
That's amazing. You know, I never see a list of top 33 Gen Xers, which is where I fall.
Gen Xers.
Forgotten generation.
Are you in that, Brian?
The latchkey, right?
Gen X, I just like skipped over it. And suddenly millennials are running the world.
So. I'm still proud. We're the original work hard, play hard.
There you go. And you also co-host your own podcast here,
right?
With Brandon Smith.
Word Matters.
Which is a scary podcast to me because you guys take on some tough stuff.
Controversial topics. Yeah, no, passages in the Bible that have multiple interpretations. We try to tackle those tough topics and then talk through them, different ways that people have interpreted them, and then how we would preach or teach them.
That's amazing.
Yeah,
and not to belabor any point that's being made here, but Trevin also contributes to numerous publications, and I see the Washington Post, which is not on the list of usual suspects for our guest, as well as Christianity Today, and your blog, Kingdom People. I remember seeing that years ago as one of the most influential blogs in, I think it was evangelicalism, but maybe just religion even, and that's hosted on the Gospel Coalition.
That's right.
TheGospelCoalition.com. So, yeah, pretty busy. I wanted to ask you, and so 5 books titles to your credit. This Is Our Time has only released in the last 30 days. Is that right? It was a spring release?
About last 5 weeks, I guess. So March 1 was the time
recent.
Out. That's right.
So what? So tell us. So I saw the proposal and thought it was a very, well, you know,
timely.
Yeah, timely. That's called.
You hope so, if that's the title, right?
Tell us a little bit about why. So, what's it about, and what was the motivation for writing?
This Is Our Time is a book that has snapshots of our current moment right now in 21st century North America, snapshots of our culture. And I wanted to write it in a way that was very interesting, accessible, so that people in my life group at church that I was leading could pick up this book and feel like they got a bit of a primer on, hey, this is what life is like in 21st century North America, and let's imagine what faithfulness will look like in this day and age. So it starts off very close to home. I mean, the first chapter's on the smartphone, right? I mean, that is a very close to home, close to our hearts, or at least in our pockets, or, you know, very, very close. Then going on to our entertainment choices, how we can see for the purpose of life, all the way to our shopping habits. And then it starts to broaden out. And we talk about political posture, sex, marriage, myth of progress, myth of decline, just kind of broadens out to these big overarching ideas that shape our society. And I wanted to give people some ways of thinking through a lot of these things so that they would be able to come to the culture that we live in and see themselves as missionaries who have a gospel that tells a better story than that they hear in the world.
Well, I can see a future episode of Groups Matter addressing that myth of progress.
Oh, yeah.
That seems absolutely captivating, and that's just one chapter.
Yeah. That's right. And there's also a myth of decline that goes along with it, both myths.
So. You and I think on one of our Chewy's outings, we talked about the myth.
That.
So did you quote me in the book?
Nope. Sorry, didn't make it. Sorry.
Again, it's the Gen X's. We never get the
You're
credit.
Forgotten.
Never
yes.
get recurring the theme.
Well, one of your recent projects, just a small project that you stepped into here at Lifeway, is actually publishing a Bible.
Small project, just a little thing.
Tiny little thing, the CSB, which I'm still trying to wrap my head around the fact that you were a part of publishing a Bible. I mean, tell us a little bit about what is it like to publish a Bible, and maybe what were some of the big surprises that you ran into when you did that?
So I came along rather late in the game, actually. The translation committee had done all of their work the last few years, and I came in on the very tail end of that to help get this Bible ready for release. So Christian Standard Bible is a translation of the scriptures that seeks to be in the sweet spot between a literal word-for-word translation and a dynamic thought-for-thought translation. Tries to really be able to do both of those things well so that it's accurate and readable at the same time. And for me, I think the biggest surprise since I've been in this role has been the level of detail it takes to print and publish a Bible. The amount of proofing that is necessary, the conversations from typesetting to even the physics of creating a Bible, you know, where you get all of the Bible into one book. I don't think people realize there's a reason why so many Bibles have multiple columns, why the paper's so thin, because we're talking about more than 700 something thousand verses. We're talking about millions of characters, right, that are in the Bible. So we're talking about a book that is just challenging to put together in one book. Because
it's not a book, it's a library.
It's a library, right, yeah. Right. 66 books and they're all fitting into one. And so I think that's been the biggest learning experience. It's just been how much detail is involved in getting that right and making sure that people are going to be able to benefit from it.
That's fascinating. I know when I got mine, it's just beautiful. And the cover just feels good. And normally in my daily reading, I actually use my phone. That's kind of what I do for my morning daily reading. And since I've gotten the CSB, I've actually gone back to the physical just because it feels so good in your hands. And it's a beautiful Bible.
You know, that's been another surprise. I think I've we've hosted a lot of pastors and church leaders here at Lifeway and to introduce the CSB and let people see the translation for themselves. But one of the most fascinating things that we've learned is that a lot of younger people, millennials that are, you know, 10 years behind me, even, you know, that are right now in college, they really put a strong priority on the printed page, the presentation, the design, how it feels, what the font is like, you know, is it single column? Is it, you know, what? And you'd think, oh, this is the digital age, right? That stuff doesn't matter anymore. They're just going to read it on their phone. And they're like, no. If we just want to access the content, yes, we can get that on YouVersion or on our app or Bible Gateway or whatever. But when we're actually doing our study, right, to get, like, we're actually going to go through and we're going to have a Bible we're going to use, the printed Bible matters even more to that generation than you would expect. So I that was another a bit of a surprise. I think I had characterized younger millennials as basically digital natives. They're going to be digital only. They wouldn't care about print. No, they actually care about the quality of the printed Bible more because they have that access, that they can get the content digitally. The experience is more important for them in print. So, you know, just another learning that I would not have expected a year ago.
From an old guy. I like the physical print, so that's awesome. One of the things I want to ask you about, Trevin, is, you know, we talk to a lot of small group leaders. That's really kind of what the focus of this podcast is. And I think a lot of small group leaders don't really think about the translation of the Bible that they're using in their studies, and they just kind of whatever they can grab or whatever is the easiest. So why do you think it should matter to the small group leader and really in general to people why or the type of translation that they use? Why should it matter?
You know, choosing a good translation matters because at the end of the day, we're talking about the very words of God, right? These are the words that God himself inspired. We want to get them right. We want a translation that is accurate, that is meaningful, that is understandable. So people will sometimes ask me, Trevin, what's the best translation? And my response to that is always, well, for what? Right? For what purpose? Because we are really blessed in the United States or in English speaking contexts to have a variety of solid translations that serve different purposes. So, you know, you might go to like the New American Standard Bible for almost the most word for word Bible you can get in English. Readability, not really the big factor there, not really one of the strong values. It can be difficult in English sometimes, but it's very, very literal, you know. But then on the other side, you've got translations like the New Living Translation or others that are very readable, very dynamic, not so much concerned about word for word literal translation, but certainly are focused on that reading experience. And then you have other translations that fall somewhere in between. The CSB, I think, is going to make is going to be appreciated by a lot of small group leaders in that it's the kind of translation that would be good as a primary text, you know, one that people can use to say, hey, this is solid, it's accurate, I can use this for serious Bible study, for preaching, for teaching, all of that. And at the same time, I can share it, I can hand it out. I know that people are going to be able to read it. Can share it with my kids. They're going to be able to understand it so that I don't feel like I have to make this choice between an accurate translation or a readable one. I've got one that does both of those things well. So again, different translations serve different purposes. The reason we care is because we're people of the book, right? The Bible is life to us. And so that's what keeps us going back to the text, to translations.
Did you catch yourself fighting not to use the term optimal equivalence in that answer?
Right now,
that response?
Yeah. That is the philosophical, yeah. Like if you read the preface, you're going to find that is the philosophical name for what it is that we're talking about. But yeah, I try to keep it simple. As simple as possible, so that what I'm saying is both accurate and readable, just like the CSB, right?
Is that optimal? So optimal equivalence is that's the term that we've used.
That is
so
right.
That's the explanation, right? You just kind of walked us through it without.
That's right. That's right.
Reference.
So you got the more literal kind are generally called formal equivalents, and then you've got the more readable translations. They're typically called dynamic equivalents. So CSB philosophically, like what's in the preface, is the guiding philosophy for the translation committee is optimal equivalence. So you can take the best of both, the formal and the dynamic, and put them together and have one translation that does both of those things well.
And of course, you can go to csbbible.com.
Just CS Bible. Just csbible.com, and you can find out lots of information about the translation. Frequently asked questions. You see a list of endorsers there, and lot of good information there at csbible.com.
Okay, so it's available now. But over the next several months, there will be different versions, different what's the term that I'm struggling to find?
Different variations. Different packaging. You've got different covers, different interiors. You know, some key titles as well.
Right. So I appreciate what you said to Chris about why this is important. So as you have talked to people, as you have been in this process of developing this Bible over the last, year and a half, I guess, I'm sure you have run into people, and I think most of us are like this, we get attached to a particular translation. So how would someone, what would someone gain from switching from a familiar translation to the CSB, and how would you counsel them in that way?
Well, I'm really careful never to tell people, you know, what they should do translation wise. Sure. There's great benefit in having a translation that you're very familiar with, that you memorize from, that you know very well, because it's something that kind of seeps into your heart and mind. There's also something really beneficial about picking up a translation that you've never read before, and there are certain insights, certain things that will come to you fresh from just using a different translation. So I know people that they did the Bible reading plan through the year. You know, they're going to read through the Bible in a year. And I know people that will pick a different translation every year for that very reason. They want to kind of read it fresh again, so they'll have a different translation. And in English, goodness, you've got multiple choices that you can make from that. What I would say as far as people that are interested in seeing the CSB, I would take it alongside the Bible that you generally study from, or the Bible that you use for your prep for leading a small group, or whatever it is you're generally using your Bible for. Take it alongside and use it alongside whatever Bible that you have. And you can see there, after a certain time, after you've read through it and whatnot, I think you'll be able to get a feel for either this is going to be a Bible that's going to be assisting me in my study, in my preparation time, you know, for me to get another view of what a certain text may be, or you may come to say, you know, this is a Bible I'd love to make this my primary Bible. It doesn't mean that you set aside forever a translation that you've used and loved and memorized from or anything like that, but that you've got a translation that may wind up becoming more of your primary go-to text. And so that's what I encourage people to do. Just take it alongside whatever Bible they read and then see where it goes.
So, Chris, I don't know how you are, but I like being familiar with all the translations. So I kind of grew up on the New King James. I've spent time in the NIV. The Holman, when it came out, used mm-hmm. that a lot. So I'm excited about having a new experience with a new text, and the differences will be subtle. I've heard, Trevor, I've heard you talk about several of the differences, and I'm looking forward to just experiencing those just for the same reason that you've already identified. So I like having all of them at my disposal, obviously not at one time. Trevor used the term primary source. I guess I have that. It was the Holman, and it will be the CSB now. I just like the way it reads, but I kind of like having a lot of them around. And I'm sure other group leaders are like that.
Yeah. When I'm preparing a Bible study for my group, and you probably do this, Trevor, when you prepare a message at church, I like to have a few translations open,
sure.
Even a paraphrase, to kind of get a general picture of the scripture. When you're doing that, does it help to have different types of translations to have more of the literal all the way, you know, across the spectrum for you when you prepare a message?
I think so. I mean, if you're going to have a variety of translations, you ought to have a variety of translation philosophies represented in there. So, yeah, to go all the way from paraphrase to, you know, maybe you have a Greek interlinear, you know, where it's like basically just the Greek text with the English words underneath, or to everything in between. Having a few translations that are translations you will consult is good. I do think there is value, though, in having your go-to translation, you know, like the one that is going to be your primary text. And right now, I mean, CSB is new, so it's not that for everyone yet, obviously. But I do think there's going to be a lot of people who are going to say, yeah, that could be my go-to, even while I'm consulting and benefiting from the great wealth of resources we have in English when it comes to translations.
Yep. And the goal, obviously, is that we want people to read the Bible.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's really the goal. So how can group leaders encourage the people in their group just to read the Bible? Just whatever translation it is, hopefully CSB helps. But how can we just encourage people just to read the Bible more?
Reading plans help. Reading plans in community help. So those two things together. First of all, having a plan where it's intentional. You know, you're going to read 5 days a week, and this is what what you're going to be covering. Or when we go to, you know, when you go beyond that to reading in community, that is there's a level of accountability that is and excitement that comes with that. So, I mean, you think about the Bible, reading the Bible as pleasurable, yes, but also as something of an exercise. It's a difficult book. A lot of people have trouble with parts of it, and it's written in a different context, different cultural era than ours. And so there's work that has to be done on it, but it's kind of like a workout where it may be strenuous and you're exercising, but you feel better afterwards. But it's amazing how many people, when they work out, do this together. You know, I've got on my Fitbit, I've got Fitbit friends who I'm watching to see how many steps they're getting this week. You know, am I getting more steps? Are they getting more? But it's the fact that we're doing this together. You know, people go to the gym, they have a membership, they know people, because it's that element really does make a difference. And so I think of Bible reading like that. Have a plan, be intentional, but at the same time, have community, have other people that are alongside you reading the same thing, or you know, talking to you about what it is you're reading, what you've been seeing in God's Word. I think that's vitally important for us if we're going to get into the Bible more.
Yeah, thanks, Trevin. So tell us again, even though you referenced it earlier in the interview here, what else is coming for the CSB?
So we've got a number of Bibles that have just recently released, but we will continue to have new Bibles coming out. We have a She Reads Truth Bible, which is a Bible that is for the online community, for women, getting women into the Word, has reading plans for each book, maps. It's beautifully presented. It's one of the best looking Bibles I think I've ever seen. Just very inviting, wanting you to really engage God's Word. We're releasing the CSB Study Bible in May.
That's
which
exciting.
Is a landmark work. It's a fantastic resource. I think a lot of people are going to get a lot from. Also doing releasing the Apologetics Study Bible, both for students and for adults, this summer. And we'll also be doing a Reader's Bible here pretty soon, which is the Bible without any verses or chapter numbers. It's the Bible presented very simply, but very, very beautifully. Really, it's for readers. It is easy on the eye. A lot of the decisions made and how to present the interior of that is really for someone who's just sitting down and wants to read large chunks of the Bible at one time. You know, so very excited to see some of those resources as they begin to come out.
So She Reads Truth, and then next month is the Study Bible.
That's right.
And the Apologetics.
That's in the summer, and then beyond, the Reader's Bible is late summer as well.
And again, that's csbible.com. You can go check that out and get information. Trevin's already referenced and hinted at a lot of that, but if you want to take a longer look at it, csbible.com. So that's going to wrap it up for us today. Trevin, thanks for being with us. We ought to do it again.
Glad to be with you guys.
And be sure and check out Trevin's podcast, Words Matter. You co-host that with Brandon Smith, who's one of our authors. So, Chris, you want to tell us about our sponsor, smallgroup.com?
Our sponsor today is smallgroup.com. Smallgroup.com is an online library of over 2,000 customizable Bible studies that you can grab for your context at your church, for your ministry. And one thing that has changed is there is now a 30-day free preview. It used to be 2 weeks, and we would get a lot of pushback. Hey, I didn't have time or didn't get to it right away. And so we have extended that for an entire month. So if you go to smallgroup.com, sign up for a trial, you'll have 30 days to check it out.
And that's going to do it for episode 42 of Groups Matter. Thanks, Chris.
Thank you.
The syndicated Groups Matter podcast show.
All across the Americas.
The Americas, you said.
And Romania, because Trevin was here.
Well, that's right. Trevin is going to help us tap into a new market. Thank our producer, Drew Porterfield, and sponsor, smallgroup.com, both of whom, without whom, this would not be possible. Hope to see you guys again.